Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
We are all entitled to sexual health, just as much as physical and mental health.
We want to make it easier for folks to find resources. However they engage with us, there's no wrong door.
So it's important that people are able to get access to care that is affirming.
Talking about what their sex life is, about their concerns, and to make sure they're healthy.
Do it for them. Do it for you, Montgomery County.
Your sexual health matters. Visit doitforyoumc.org.
Hey everyone, Scott Hansen here from NFL Red Zone. I hope you're checking out 1 hour of 5 Yard Rush, one of the best podcasts on NFL football in the UK.
Hello, welcome Rush Nation to the 5 Yard Rush DFS show. I'm Mark Ferguson, and back this week with Nick. He's here after his week of prioritizing his baby over us. He's back.
How rude of me.
Hello. Got your priorities sorted, Nick. So really good to have you back. How's your last couple of weeks been?
Yeah, they've been really good. Good to be back. I can hear her actually crying in the background downstairs. So I might have had a lucky escape for the next hour. But no, all good. Slightly more tired than I was last time I was on this, but good to be back.
Well, just in case you get called out, we've got in a nice little sub sitting on the bench just below us on the screen. Sean, community manager of Fan Team, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Yes.
Yeah, that's your title. Sean's coming off a big win yesterday in the Champions League on Fan Team. First and second place.
Every squirrel finds a nut eventually.
As if it's not enough to win first in a contest, you go and win second as well in the same contest.
It's just greedy,
Somebody has to.
Yeah.
Just plain greedy.
Oh, no, I hadn't won anything for a bit, so no, it was good. I didn't even know I was winning. I was doing other bits, and then Nick messaged me and said, "Look at that." And I thought, "Oh, let me look at that leaderboard." And it's very difficult then not to keep watching it, isn't it? Once you're up there, it's you know, you just keep looking at it. But the best for the old ticker is don't look at it.
Strangely, I was exactly the same with the fumble on Sunday. I know mine was only the £1.68 entry, but I was up late with the baby and keeping an eye on the end of the Dallas game against New England. Yeah. And Dak threw a touchdown to CD Lamb, and I was like, oh, thank God that's happened, because like that's really propelled me up now. And then the late game. I can't recall, was it Denver potentially? But whoever it was, I woke up in the middle of the night and I checked and I was like, oh my God, I'm still first. Get in. Sadly, not for as much as what you won last night, Sean.
That's all right. Fan Team will get it back. They always do.
Yeah. But not this weekend, because we're all going to be winners this weekend. So let's talk about this new era of 5 Yard Rush and Fan Team. We've got this week, we've got for you an exclusive
Week 7 Red Zone Contest. It's a free-to-enter contest with a £300 prize pool. Even though it's free-to-play, you must be 18 or over to play it. And basically, it's standard DFS for NFL with fan team pricing. And it mimics the main Red Zone Contest, which is on the site, which has a €7,000 prize pool. And then there's a cheap entry fee, which I can't remember the prize pool for that one, Sean. Do you know it?
It's 2,000, isn't it?
2,000, yeah. So you've got different different buy-in levels for different bankrolls there. But what we're going to talk about tonight is the 5-yard rush Red Zone Contest. There's going to be one of these every week now until the end of the season, which is really great news for all our listeners. And what we're going to do is you need a password to enter this contest, and you're going to get that during this show. Okay. Talking of the password for the show, some of the more eagle-eyed people on Twitter might have noticed that even though we were going to have the grand reveal tonight of the password, somebody, one of the three people on your screen right now, posted the password out on Twitter earlier today. Yeah, that's right. It was you, Nick, wasn't it?
It was me. I hold my hands up, and I was accusing other people at the time, completely oblivious to the fact that it was actually there in broad daylight, plain sight on a tweet.
What's even funnier is you asked me privately after you did that tweet, what is the password?
I'm trying to get down to the bottom of my own mystery as to who's given this password out, and all along I was the culprit. And the fact that I didn't know, these kind of things I do feel only happen to me. These acts of embarrassing stupidity, but we can laugh it off. It's good because any listeners or anyone watching will get the password nice and early this evening.
Yeah, that's the one advantage. So we've had some really good analysis of what happened today from our very own Murph, who I recorded the game show with earlier. He said, Nick's password security is right on par with Jared Goff's ball security. He's that valuable. We might have to trade him to fan team with our first round pick just to get next week's contest and password. So, now, there you go. First round pick, Nick.
Very, very harsh. I think I was likened to Granit Xhaka as well.
Yeah, that was another one, wasn't it, as well? Yeah.
Yeah. For my absolute howler.
You've got baby brain. We'll give you.
That's what I'm putting it down to, yeah. The sleepless nights and mind being elsewhere.
Oh, great. So I think what we're going to do tonight, between the three of us, we're going to show you how to get into this contest on Fan Team, show you around the site, show you how to build your lineup, how to construct it. And we're going to talk through each position and sort of offer some ideas of players you might be interested in and stuff. There'll be a lot of fun, especially around the wide receiver position, because we've got a lot of disagreements already about that before the show even started. So that'll be good. Anything else we need to talk about, guys, do you think, before we get going here?
We'll also be giving away some tickets.
Yeah, we will. That's a very good point. Yes. So there should be a link. If you're on the YouTube, there will be a link at the bottom of this, but we'll also put this link out on the socials as well. If you're a new user to Fan Team and you join through the link and enter our free to enter contest, you'll be put into a draw to win 5 tickets to the €7,000 contest as well, which is a fantastic offer, absolutely fantastic offer. So what you need to do is you join through the link, then let us know that you've done so, give us your Fan Team ID, we'll just double check, and then you'll be in the draw. And that's it. Every week, five people will be chosen randomly. And I do believe we're doing this every week.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a great, great offer. If you're new to Fantasy, that's a fantastic offer. Cool.
Great. Certainly.
So that's it. So, Nick, is it time for you to get back on that old manscaped horse?
You've missed me doing this, Mark. That one week of awkwardness, you have missed me. That you know, you read that monologue so nicely the other week. I do feel that it's a shame that we're not hearing it from you again this week.
All I could see was Rich grinning on the screen as I was saying it.
I will take the reins again, and just for the listeners of the show or anyone watching this, you will know that any 5 Yard Rush show is brought to you by Manscaped, the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for those all-important family jewels. Recently launched the fourth-generation trimmer, the Lawnmower 4.0, all across Europe. Many, many great features that we've spoken about in the past at great length. Is there a pun in there? Great length, potentially when we're talking about trimming, we'll go with that. But yeah, lots and lots of great features. The perfect kind of tool that you need to protect that nether region. You do not want to get any nicks down there, and this is ideal for that kind of thing if you do like a clean shave. Join over 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped. We have an exclusive offer for you. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code 5YARD, and that's at manscaped.com. So when you're checking out, 5YARD is your promotional code, manscaped.com, and that will get you 20% off and free worldwide shipping.
Nicely done. Nicely done. Yeah. Sean, you sure you don't want to have a go at that?
No.
Okay.
Well, it's a vital part of the male grooming stage, isn't it? You know, every guy needs one. So
these crazy youngsters, that's all I can think. So let's get some screen sharing going, shall we? So hopefully now we can see the fan team page, and I'll just quickly show you for new users how to find the our exclusive free roll contest. On the left hand side, you've got these filters here, and next to the little picture of the American football, there is the word football. If you click on that, all your contests change to all the American football ones, like tonight's showdown, the Jack Humphrey Invitational. And what you'll see down here is the exclusive 5 Yard Rush Sunday Red Zone free roll. And you can see that you click on the play zero, because that's how much it costs to play it. And it's going to ask you for a password. Now, here we go. This is the bit which this is all about, but the password is a red zone, just like that.
For those of you on Twitter earlier, yeah, you would know that already.
Yeah. But for the 38 people who've already entered, you already know that. So, yeah. So, and here we're in our lineup construction screen. So, your lineup consists of one quarterback, minimum of two running backs, three wide receivers, one tight end, and a defense special teams, which is called DST. And then you can add one more player who is either a running back, a wide receiver, or a tight end. So, and we'll talk about the different types of roster constructions as we go along and stuff, and, you know, things to consider there. And like all fantasy sport and other DFS, you've got a budget of 135 million for those nine players, and each player has a price. And it's as simple as you just have to fit a team under the budget. That's it. Sounds easy, doesn't it? It's simple but ridiculously hard, I think, is the way to describe DFS. That's the basics of how you have your roster construction. Just before we start looking at the actual positions, I just want to show you this little box above the list of the players. And you can search for players. If you're looking for a particular player, you can search for them there. So if I type in Cup, you get Cooper Cup, for example. You can also filter by teams. So you can choose any team you want. And again, it shows you just the players you for that team. My favorite, which I really like to choose, is the select several, which is I usually clear it and then say, I just want to see everybody from the Tennessee and Kansas game. Submit. And there you go. I love that select several. It saves me a lot of time.
I've literally only just found this. This is education to me, Mark. I've never seen select several. My eyes have, for some reason, just brushed over it every week.
This is the old you finding out there's an app thing all over again. You were here for that, weren't you, Sean?
Yes, I was the one who told him. He didn't know there was an app, and then it'd be much better if Fan Team had an app. Like saying, they haven't got an app, and then kindly reminded him it'd be there. It's already been there for weeks. So
imagine saying something like that to someone who is a community manager at Fan Team. like speaking like you know what you're talking about, and then the community manager at fan team comes in and blows your legs off with the app. As I said earlier, things like this, they only happen to me.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Select several. It was very handy. Then you've got this filter for the pricing, which we might look at a little bit later when we go towards the end. It's best just to leave it on max price most of the time. When you're down to one player, affordable is quite handy, but we'll go through that. But this box is the most important one. At the moment, it says available. So any player who has been injured earlier in the week may well not be showing as available, but they still might be a viable pick because they may well be coming back. Again, we might come across some of those examples as we build our team. But so any status basically shows you every single player on the slate. And I think this box is the one that confused most people when they start. Often, don't you, Sean? You see on the Discord, the fan team Discord and stuff, lots of questions from people saying, why is this player not here? Why is this player not here?
Yeah, the one piece of advice I would give anyone playing is when they open this page, change it to any status straight away. Because then you see everybody listed.
Yeah. And if they are definitely out and definitively out, they usually have a red circle next to their name.
Yeah.
But with the NFL, because of injury reports and the way that players are sort of not injured quite quickly or injured quite quickly, it's not so. You really need to do your own research, I think, for that, I would suggest. There's lots of reports everywhere. There's regular injury reports Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And then what you'll find is Sunday mornings, Adam Schefter on Twitter pretty much tells you who's going to play and who's not.
Yeah.
So weird thing about him is he's doing that at the equivalent of 3 a.m. in America.
Yeah, I saw, yeah. Someone tweeted at him. He says, "Don't you sleep, Adam?"
Like, yeah. So that's always fun. So yeah. So that's great piece of advice there from Sean. Put it to any status. And then this bit about form. I mean, I've never actually used this bit, Sean. I'm assuming it's what shows next to the points. Is it?
Yeah, it's the form. I think it's over the last 3 games, isn't it?
Or yeah, something
so. Of, something like yeah. that.
I would leave it as form, but so there you go. That's kind of your how you. That's your sort of your portal to building your team, as it were. So I think we need to start picking some players, guys. Don't you reckon?
Mm.
So where should we start? We start with the quarterback position. Where are we going to start with that?
Sean, you anyone that you like at that position?
Well, obviously the most expensive guy is you always have to talk about, don't you, Mr. Mahomes? But very expensive. Kyler Murray, expensive as well.
He's been a bit disappointing, Kyler Murray, hasn't he? From a fantasy point of view, don't you think?
No.
You don't?
No, he's up there with.
Oh no, he's up. He's up there, but I was. He's had weeks of like 13.
Oh, I said like compared to his first couple of weeks, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, they hooked him off in the fourth quarter last week, didn't they? Because they were well up. Mm-hmm. So he didn't. I don't think he took the last two series. So I would say if you're looking to save a tad, Aaron Rodgers.
Yes. Interesting.
That is exactly the man that I had on my trusty pad as well, Sean.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm glad we're on the same wavelength.
Why do you guys like Aaron Rodgers so much?
Well, he's giving up. He's playing against the old nice, easy defense there of the Redskins. Sorry, I've said it already. Washington football team.
Didn't you do that the other day, Sean, on the pod with Jack, called them the Redskins?
Well, when you've been following them for like 20 years plus, it's very difficult to get out of those sort of habits, isn't it?
Yeah. So Nick, why did you go for him?
Do you know, it's exactly the same for me. I think to find him 7th on the list in terms of price, below some of the others, and I get that there's been. Have we lost Mark there?
Did he go?
Sure, Mark will.
We're talking about his Washington team, isn't it?
So right, I'm back, guys. Sorry about that.
We thought you'd just gone, Mark. Yeah. Just covering your ears whilst we were dissing the Washingtons.
No, sorry. I had a bit of a mishap with my mouse.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, I mean, for me, Rodgers, I think he stacks quite nicely with. I can see Adams being a popular player this week. Obviously, if you've got Adams in, the guy that's going to get him the points, it's a good stack there. Washington, the worst performing defense against quarterbacks. So it does come as a bit of a shock to me that he is 7th down that list. I know that the ones ahead of him for good reason, really. They're the ones that have scored the most points up to this point. But, you know, he's pretty consistent across the board. Aaron Rodgers, you're always getting around that sort of like that 20-point region most weeks from him. And I think because of who he's playing this week, worst defense in yards and touchdowns against quarterbacks and fantasy points for that matter. He slides in nicely at 19.9. I've no doubt Kyler Murray will be a popular play, as will, I think, Tom Brady, but he just saves you a bit of money there and allows you to go bigger elsewhere in your team.
Can I suggest another way to save some money here, which I know is going to be a very popular pick? Joe Burrow at 17.7 million. Now, the reason for that is that he is fantastic against the blitz. He's got great stats against the blitz, and Baltimore are the fourth blitziest team or something like that. I think they haven't got great cornerbacks, and I think that there could be quite a lot more points in this game than maybe a lot of other people think. So if you're looking to save him more money, I would suggest Joe Burrow as a possible option.
I think it's a good pick, and I think if you're looking down there, I think Matt Ryan's not a bad pick at 17.2 as well. Miami defense, lauded going into the season, hasn't quite been what maybe people expected it would be, and it looks like Matt Ryan's going to get Calvin Ridley and Russ Gage back this week as well. His last two performances have been much more what we expect from him. Early in the season, he'd posted a couple of average scores and an awful score week one against the Eagles, but he seemed to have woken up a little bit, the Falcons. So I think at 17.2, and again, you've got the potential there to have a nice little stack that doesn't cost you premium prices compared to the likes of Adams and Cooper Kupp and people like that.
Yeah. What do you think about some cheaper options then, Sean?
I was just looking right at the bottom there. Jared Goff, no?
No.
A lot of people play the revenge narrative, don't they? And also the coach really nearly threw him under the bus after the last game, didn't he? He told him he had to play better in his press conference. So, you know, I mean, he's going to be really low-owned. And he's cheap. He's not a favourite, but if you're looking for someone, he's going to want to try hard, isn't he? But he did play awful last game, didn't he? Missed some easy throws. There were some horrible throws. So, for saving money.
My first thought was to say, who would you stack him with? For anybody who doesn't play NFL DFS, and you know, you guys can probably elaborate on this a bit more. Stacking is really important, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's the thing is, if you're going to pick someone who, you know, a quarterback, for example, if Jared Goff has a really good day and throws three touchdowns, or one interception, those touchdowns have got to go to either his receivers or his tight end or potentially DeAndre Swift. So I'd probably be looking, if I was stacking him, maybe with a Swift or potentially with someone like TJ Hawkinson. I think the receivers there are too unpredictable in Detroit. I know you're shaking your head, Mark, and I know you don't like Hawkinson, and he has had some quiet weeks. I will give you that. But I just think the receivers there are just a little bit too unpredictable. You could stack a Khalif Raymond, you could stack an Amon-Ra St. Brown, but who knows? It's a shame Cephas isn't there, because that would have probably been the stack to do. I think he's his most reliable receiver so far this season.
Yeah. And the other player who I think was a bit of a fantasy darling at the beginning of the year was Daniel Jones. Again, a tough one to stack with, but he gets enough points on the ground himself that I think you can probably consider playing him naked if you need to save the money there.
Yeah.
So, boys, are we going with are we going with Aaron Rodgers, as you two both went for him straight away? We happy with that?
Yeah.
I'm happy with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, we go with Rodgers. Okay, so as you can see, once you click on the plus next to the player, he turns green and he appears on your lineup. So there he is, and our budget has reduced, and it told you how many players you picked. Okay. So we'll move on to the next position, running back. Can we afford Derrick Henry here? That is the question. Do we want to pay that much for Derrick Henry? What do you think, Sean?
The matchup looks very tasty, doesn't it? Chiefs gives up quite a lot of points and stuff, but he's so expensive, and we've already got Rodgers. If you put him in, you're going to have to go dumpster diving at wide receiver, aren't we? He's just really expensive. But the way he's going at the minute, he's near enough a sure thing for 20 points, isn't he, minimum?
Definitely. Definitely. Nick, what do you think? Are we going to... Is there any way we can get off Derrick Henry?
I think if I wasn't going Rodgers at quarterback and I was maybe going a bit cheaper, I think he'd be probably an automatic start in my lineup this week. I'd rather pay a bit less and bring someone in like a Daryl Henderson, or potentially someone like Chuba Hubbard, maybe.
Interesting. So Daryl Henderson was the player I was thinking of as well. I think if you can, it is actually possible to build lineups with Henry and Henderson in it. You know, pretty viable lines, but then you have to go for those cheaper quarterbacks to start off with. So Derrick Henry is obviously the best play, I suspect, as just a raw play on the whole slate.
Yeah. I think because of his performance over the last couple of years as well, if you are wanting to get a little bit different, you probably fade Derrick Henry because I've no doubt he'll be projected to be quite highly owned this week again because of what he's been doing recently. But I think given Henderson's been playing really quite well recently for the Rams, he had a really good week against the Giants last week, which is one of the reasons actually why I like Hubbard this week, because we just ran on the Giants with such ease. They were dreadful against the run, and I think some of the cheaper backs below Hubbard just come with a little bit of a question mark to them this week, i.e. either difficult matchups or some of them still have injury designations where they're either limited in practice or not practicing at all. That said, I've noticed Chase Edmonds still has the green and amber icon, which means he is doubtful to start. And if that is the case, I would be quite tempted by James Connor at 12.1 as Houston aren't great against running backs.
Yeah, and I think that's a game where Arizona, you'd expect to score a lot of points and potentially a blowout, and then they're just handing off at the end of the game to a James Connor.
Yeah.
And a 12.1. But that would be entirely dependent on Chase Edmonds being out, I presume.
Yeah, I mean, he's been the goal line back, hasn't he? When it's not Kyler Murray running it in, it seems to be James Connor gets the goal line carries. So I think he's quite safe from that perspective anyway at his price. I think the same case could be made for Mike Davis as well, because again, the Dolphins are pretty dreadful when it comes to running backs. The only thing then, I suppose, is you've got Cordarrelle Patterson. Would you rather play him, given that he's a bit of a joystick, jack of all trades, Swiss Army knife, coming out the backfield, lining up at receiver? You know what? But he does come a little bit more expensive this week. Whereas if you were, say, playing the season game at the start of that, Mike Davis was the more expensive back. So it shows what's happened there with production, and, you know, things have flipped round. So, yeah, I think that's where I'd be looking as well, because, again, in recent weeks, Mike Davis seems to have been getting a bit of goal line work again. But, yeah, I do like Daryl Henderson this week. He seems like he's the clear lead back now for the Rams. And I think the only thing with Detroit is that they are a bad defense against running backs statistically when you look at fantasy points they give up. But there's a bit of an outlier stat in that, which is the receiving touchdowns against running backs. And they've given up 6 to running backs this season. And I think that does make things look a little bit worse for the run defense versus the position. That said, Daryl Henderson has been used out of the backfield on occasions as well. So that's why I like his price.
I think is Sonny Michel banged up as well as backup?
I don't think he's banged up as such. I just think he's not getting the carries because Henderson's being so efficient with the work he's getting. There was a week where Michel took a ball in, fumbled, and barely touched the ball for the rest of the game. So I think it's becoming a bit of a trust thing. I think Henderson, when healthy, he's become a really trusted back, and he's really efficient with his work and his yardage. He runs hard, pretty decent out of the backfield, good security blanket as well for Matt Stafford. If he wants, you know, a little dump off, he's usually there open in the flat. So I do like him this week, and I don't think Sonny Michel's really a threat to his production, especially when you look at the snap count over the recent weeks as well.
So Sean, Nick makes a really good point about Chuba Hubbard against the Giants. Now, I was thinking that Hubbard actually might be quite low owned for one of these top guys.
At that price. I mean, if you look at the rest of the players around his price, or a little bit cheaper. I think a lot more people would play Patterson over Hubbard, I'd say. But what I like is I like Josh Jacobs, 14.1 million. He's scored over 15 points on his last two games.
Nobody's talking about him at the moment, particularly. Kenny Drake's getting lots of talk, but not him.
I think he snuck under the radar a little bit because he carried an injury, didn't he? And I don't think he played week two, week three. He didn't play, came back week four and wasn't that productive. But then he sort of ticked over the last couple of weeks, like you said, Sean.
Yeah, because a lot of people, when they're drafting their line, they'll look down this list and they'll look at the average points and you'll see him in single figures. And you get a lot of people who just bypass that and play somebody else because they think, look at him, he's only getting, you know, in single figures when he's had a couple of games off. But if you look at his last two games, he's averaging 15 points. So he'd be, you know, he's better than Williams, Hubbard, Mixon, you know. So, yeah, I think Josh Jacobs to save a bit of money.
Okay, so
they won last week as well, didn't they? The Raiders. So,
yeah, there's nobody from the sort of second page that you're particularly interested in. I would suggest that if Antonio Gibson doesn't get any better, I think J.D. McKissick is great value at 11.2. Because I don't see Gibson getting any healthier. He's got shin splints and he started the game last week and then he had to go off. And I don't believe he's going to be any healthier this week, per se. I don't see how you can get any healthier without a proper rest. So J.D. McKissick got the full role last week once he gone. He got everything on the ground, through the air. And I think only 11.2, he could be a great option.
What about Latavius Murray? No points.
But it's funny you should say that. I was just looking a little bit further down at Lev Bell and Devontae Freeman. It's a bit of a minefield, really, that Baltimore backfield, isn't it?
There's only one Baltimore running back you want. That's Lamar Jackson.
Yeah,
who is the quarterback?
You're not going to get any upside, are you, on the Baltimore running backs unless one guy takes all the work, which he isn't. So,
yeah. And the other guy to consider down here, I suppose, is Devontae Booker, because Saquon Barkley, I should imagine, isn't. He's not going to play. Or if he is, he's going to be on a snap count, isn't he?
Yeah. What about the Gainwell fella from Philadelphia?
I've been a big fan of his potential, but he's just not getting a run. They turned to Miles Sanders a lot more last week, didn't they?
Yeah, they were moaning in the press, weren't they, with Miles Sanders. He weren't hardly getting a carry.
But he did last week, I think, didn't he?
Yeah.
I think it was last week, yeah. So, I think you really want to be trying to get your running backs on the first page here, don't you think, guys?
Yeah.
So we need to make some decisions here on this.
Before we do make a decision on that, I mean, we're scraping the barrel a little bit here, but on page three, Ronald Jones is 5.3. Ronald Jones always has a game where he goes off. Is it coming? 5.3.
It's like nothing.
Is it worth the risk? Exactly. Yeah. It's barely even a risk because even if he has two carries for 13 yards, you're probably not that disappointed when you're only spending 5.3 on him. The funds you could put elsewhere throughout your team, and he he's due that week where he has a break-off run of about 80 yards for a touchdown at 5.3. Could it be this week against the lowly Chicago Bears?
There is definitely a path to him getting points, which make him so valuable, as in Tampa Bay just go so far ahead that they rest Leonard Fournette in the fourth quarter or even halfway through the third, and Ronald Jones comes in and puts up a load of yards and a couple of touchdowns.
Yeah,
that's easily a path to that. And if you've called it this week right, Nick, you are a genius. If you've picked it. But we're not putting him in, are we, in our team? For this
Absolutely
week?
Not. I'm not going to put him in any of my lineups. But I think if I was having a little punt, then at 5.3, I'd maybe be tempted.
Yeah.
Because there's always that week where he's going to go off and you kick yourself when you miss it.
What about Giovanni Bernard? He's even cheaper.
We can't pick him as 5-yard rushers, can we? Because Murph doesn't like Bernard, I don't think, at all, does he?
I don't think he's his biggest fan. He's had two double figure scores this season, though. And I suppose, you know, Gronkowski potentially not playing, Antonio Brown potentially not playing. Is there a pathway to some passing work for Giovanni Bernard this week, maybe?
Depends how close Chicago want to keep it, isn't it? If the game gets out of hand, he's not going to throw too much, I doubt.
I feel there's more paths for Ronald Jones than him down at that price, but I don't think there's many paths at all, to be honest, either way. So we've got to pick a couple of players here.
Well, we've got a decision to make because
Are
we going two running backs or are we going three running backs? Do we maybe start with two and maybe come back to it?
Yeah, I think you start with two, and I think that's a really good tip for people building their first lineups and stuff. You know, build the bare minimum. You can see which is the bare minimum by the sort of players who are white on the screen or the lineup, and then we come back to it later and see what money we've got left over and if we have to change anybody around. So I definitely think we picked two, and I'm guessing we've got to put Daryl Henderson in, haven't we, as one of them?
I think consensus. I like Henderson. You like Henderson, Mark. I think Henderson has to go in. Do we put Josh Jacobs in as our little wild card? I like that shout, Sean, to be honest.
Should we put him in right now and then we'll see?
Yeah, see what we got left. We could always upgrade, isn't it, later?
Yep. Yes, we can. So we got the two running backs. You need a minimum of two running backs. So let's go to wide receiver. Now, we're talking about stacking earlier. We're almost obliged to pick Davante Adams, aren't we, here?
I think if you're going to start Aaron Rodgers, I think you have to pick Davante Adams, really. Me personally, yeah. I wouldn't start Rodgers without Adams because I just don't think you're maximising the points that you'd get from Green Bay then.
Yeah. And Adams is like the safest. I know he's not the top scoring wide receiver this year, but I think he's the most, I think he's the safest, most consistent. I think
he's
got.
That's it, and he's third in targets. He's joint first in actual receptions. Mm-hmm. So, you know, again, likely to be a popular player this week, you would say. But to the position, we've already said Washington not great against quarterbacks. Doesn't come as a surprise that they're also not great against wide receivers. So they've given up 9 touchdowns this season to wide receivers. Second worst in fantasy points. So for me, it's an automatic start. If Rodgers is in, Adams has got to be in.
Sometimes I hate your stats, Nick.
I come speaking sense. I only speak sense.
I'm going to have a lot of lineups based around Green Bay doing well this weekend. So. Maybe I'll reverse jinx Washington into actually winning a game they shouldn't. So you never know. So if we do that, now we're left with currently 61.5 million left and we've got 5 players left to pick. Now, what you've got to bear in mind here is you will make savings at the defensive position, DST, defense and special teams. And also you can make savings at tight end as well. So I don't think we have to go too dumpster diving quite yet. But I suspect now we've got Adams in, players like Kupp and Hill, who are like 3 million more than everybody else, I think they're out. I don't think we can pick either of those now.
Yeah, I think for me, they'd be off the table if I was putting an Adams in. I don't know about you, Sean.
Yeah. I wouldn't pick another one. I was going to say, if you like Green Bay, maybe another wide receiver as well. Maybe someone like Randall Cobb and go the full stack.
Yep. So let's have a look. Cobb's price, 7.7. So he is a great value play if you like the Green Bay to score a lot of points against Washington, which of course they're going to. He's been a little bit inconsistent. That's why his price is 7.7. So he's had one good week.
Yeah, the thing you have to work out is, are you going to get enough upside by playing both wide receivers, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I suppose if you've got Adams in, you've got Rodgers. If you're constructing a lineup here, if you get to the end of your lineup and you've got a couple of million left over, do you then start looking at Daryl Henderson? Is it worth flipping Daryl Henderson to an Aaron Rodgers, an Aaron Jones? Because you're then basically getting Green Bay's number one and Green Bay's number two receivers and a running back there.
Yeah.
Well, you could run it back and have McLaurin, isn't it? Game stack.
Yep. So that's another option, another strategy, which is very popular in NFL DFS and it's proven to be profitable as well. Before we pick McLaurin, just to talk about a few of these other receivers here. Cooper Kupp is like kind of surprised, I think, a lot of people being a wide receiver one this year. Even you, Nick, I think would admit you wouldn't have expected that when the season started.
Yeah, I think I said top 15, maybe top 12 at a push. I wasn't expecting top 5. You know, great. It doesn't come as a surprise though, because he's a great wide receiver, runs great routes. He's got good hands. He's a good target in the red zone. He's now got a better quarterback throwing him the ball, so it doesn't come as a surprise that his actual performances have upticked as well.
Yeah. I mean, Tyreek Hill is just—he's one of those players who can just blow, you know, just destroy a slate. If you've got it, you need to have him, sort of player, isn't he? Because he gets 50 points and stuff. He's just one of those sorts of players. He doesn't always do it though. You know, he's got a 14-pointer there, a 9, a 5. So, just bear in mind that's what you're getting with Tyreek Hill. A bit boom or bust.
Yeah, I think if you wanted the consistency there from Kansas City and you wanted a bit of exposure, though he's not much cheaper, for a million less you can get Travis Kelce.
Yeah, tight end who's like their wide receiver 1A or 1B, him and Tyreek Hill. So DeAndre Hopkins, I think, has been a bit disappointing as well this year. Although he scored a couple of 20 points there and stuff, I do wonder whether he's carrying an injury we didn't really know about. I do
remember a point last season though where he was getting a little bit frustrated that the ball wasn't coming his way. Is it just that the Arizona offense is set up in the way that they do spread the ball a little bit more, because Christian Kirk has had some highlight moments, as has Rondale Moore, and now you're factoring Zach Ertz into that offense this week as well?
Also, AJ Green.
Yes, AJ Green. Yep, forgotten.
He's got
man.
More involved. Yeah. So Calvin Ridley's coming back after missing the London games. Any interest in him? You definitely, if you had interest in Matt Ryan earlier, you must have interest in Ridley.
Yeah, I think if I was starting Ryan, I'd probably be starting Ridley if he's good to go. And I think from what I read, he's back at practice, full participant as it stands. Yeah. So I think if I was stacking Ryan, I'd stack Ridley. But I'm not that interested without Ryan, in all honesty.
Yeah, fair enough. So who on this first page are we interested in then, Sean?
Oh, there's so many choices, isn't it?
There are lots of good choices here.
I love Jamar Chase. I play him every week. He rarely lets us down. But tough matchup this week. Tough matchup. And he's, you know, quite popular most weeks. So maybe we can try and get off him a bit. I'll say Marquise Brown.
Yeah. That's what I'm liking.
14 million. I played Shepard last week. He didn't do much.
So this week's matchup for Marquise Brown is far better than it was last week. against the Bengals and stuff. Last week was sort of a Mark Andrews game for Baltimore. But yeah, I think because he's coming off a down week as well of 7.5, I think that might suppress his ownership.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think he could be a good option. What do you think, Nick?
Yeah, definitely. We've always said about Marquise Brown that he's got a bit of that boom or bust to him, but when he does break off a big play, it's usually a good 30, 40 yarder with a touchdown at the end of it. But he's having a pretty consistent season this year, isn't he?
Yeah.
The ones that interest me are the Tampa boys at 15.6, 15.4. You look at the injury report. Obviously, the latest that we've got is from Wednesday as it stands. OJ Howard, Antonio Brown and Rob Gronkowski all didn't practice on Wednesday and all are listed as questionable for the game against Chicago. I think as well with Antonio Brown, who I think Gronkowski and OJ Howard to a lesser extent, I think Brown does eat into targets of Godwin and Evans, and he has an ankle sprain, I believe, which can be quite painful and quite difficult to shrug off in the space of a week. I think he actually exited the game with it, so it must have been severe enough that he couldn't play through it. And it's not always something that you can get rid of within a week. Sometimes ankle sprains can be 3 to 4 week injuries. So I suppose it depends on the severity and how high or low it is on the ankle as to what it's causing him discomfort-wise. But I like the Tampa Bay wide receivers. And I think even if there is a commanding lead there for Tampa Bay, Brady, the least yards he's thrown for this year is 269. But you're looking usually minimum 300, and 350 yards from him in some games. And in a couple of the games, he's actually broken the 400 yard barrier as well. So if it does become, they might get off to a really good start, Tampa Bay, and fire off into a lead. But if that's the case, then it's probably because Tom Brady's been throwing the ball and got them to that position. So I think they're pretty good price, really, at 15. I'd be tempted to actually have them both in, just so that you don't miss points.
Yeah. I don't think we can afford to put them both in this team, though, can we?
Maybe not in this team.
No, but generally,
might have them in mine.
I think probably for this team, we'll pick one player around this sort of price range and then maybe look at some cheaper options for a third player. So, the problem with Evans and Godwin is it's picking the right one, isn't it? Like you say, if you pick both of them, you cover it, I suppose. I expect Tampa Bay just to do what they always do at home and just run up the score.
Yeah, I think exactly that. And for that reason, if I was picking someone around that price, I'd probably pivot to Chase, as we've said.
Mm. So should we just put Chase in then, shall we, for the moment? Okay. And then should we drop down to the next page and look at some cheaper players now? I think there's actually some good options on this page. I think Devonta Smith is a good option. Jalen Waddle's a good option. I think T. Higgins is a good option. Probably not with Chase in this lineup. Henry Ruggs is catching, long balls. It seems like recently for fun. There you go, 18 last week. His form's pretty good in there. What do you guys reckon? Do you see anything on here you think is a really good play?
Yeah, I mean, I think Ruggs, Renfro, Kirk, Green, those sort of plays.
Yeah,
Christian Kirk seems quite cheap, doesn't he, Nick?
Yeah, he does for what he's been doing, I think. Mm. And I know he's up against, I suppose, New England have got that stigma, haven't they, that they've always got a good defence. And I know New York Jets haven't been amazing this season, and Zach Wilson's got his faults. But Corey Davis at 11.8, he's the standout wide receiver one there. And that it could well be that game ends up being a shootout between two unlikely teams that aren't really scoring a massive amount of points. So I think he's a nice cheap option there at 11.8. If you go in, if you go in for that sort of that mid-tier pricing.
Mm. Yeah, he's had 2 weeks of over 20 points, so he's got the old ceiling game in him.
Yeah, and he's always had that. he's always had, last season at Tennessee, had probably his most consistent season to date, but he's always got that in his arsenal where there's a touchdown and 120 plus yards there on the table for him.
Yeah. If you want some exposure to the highest total game, which is like highest by 6 points, 56, you've got Mecole Hardman for only 11 million. With Tyreek Hill isn't 100%, is he? I'm pretty sure he's going to play not 100% this weekend. And it's potentially that that he will be on a snap count or get pulled out of the game at some point. Mecole Hardman at 11 million seems like a pretty good sort of a boom or bust play, I would suggest.
Yeah, I like Hardman there as well.
Yes. It might be a good way to save some money. It gives you exposure to that, what should be potentially a big game.
What about Robbie Anderson? Didn't he get a touchdown last week? He's been very quiet.
Yeah, he's been very disappointed. He caught, was it 3 out of 11 targets or something?
Yeah. 3 catches and one of them was for a touchdown. So, I don't think Darnold can throw his sort of passes, isn't it? Because he's the deep threat, isn't he? So Darnold seems to be dropping it underneath to DJ Moore a lot.
Yeah, I think if you're going to pick a pass catcher in Carolina, it's going to be DJ Moore, isn't it?
Yeah, he's expensive. I mean,
yeah, and inconsistent as well.
Yeah, they haven't played very well the last couple of weeks, Carolina. So,
but now they come up against the Giants. Who, Nick, you already said earlier,
they got destroyed last week. Mm. Absolutely dreadful.
Yeah,
I can't say much more. Going at half time, I think 4 minutes into the second quarter, it was 3-0 to the Giants. They went in at half time, I think 28-3 down. That's dreadful. It's absolutely awful.
Wow. So I'm going to suggest, because we need somebody a little bit cheaper here, we maybe look at Mecole Hardman.
I'm not against that.
I will see where we can. Once we've done the tight end and the DST, we'll see where we are. Okay. So moving on to tight end. Now, you already alluded to this. Travis Kelce is almost the same price as Tyreek Hill for Kansas City because he's the best tight end on the best offense, fantasy-wise. That's why he's so expensive. That's why he's £4.2 million more than the second-placed tight end, Darren Waller. I don't think we can afford to play him, though, this week on this lineup.
Unless we were going really budget with our last receiver, I would probably agree.
So you'd have to go really, really budget if you want to put Kelce in. Possibly too much.
I quite like Kyle Pitts this week at 13, coming off his best week, rested off the bye. Miami are just a middling team against tight ends. I think part of it for me will depend on the health of Gage and Ridley. I'm saying Gage. Gage wasn't really that involved early in the season anyway. He wasn't getting the targets he was last year. Ridley obviously eats targets when he comes in. But it seems that in the wide receiver crisis that they've had, Kyle Pitts has become a trusted target now for Matt Ryan. Yeah. So I quite like him there at 13. I think his last performance will give him massive confidence. It is almost like his breakout game this season. He hadn't really hit double figures only once up to that point.
Yeah, he's. I think my concern with Atlanta is there's a lot of mouths to feed, and it's not even been that potent an offense so far. So you've got Patterson, Ridley. Possibly Gage, if before the season started, Gage had a lot of hype, and then you got Pitts and Hayden Hurst still there, isn't he?
Yes,
see him later. He's still there, and he's actually had some good weeks and stuff as well. So there's lots of mouths to feed there.
Yeah, the cheaper option I really like. I said really like. If I was going cheap at the tight end position, CJ Uzoma at 6.2. Again, I think it's a game where Cincinnati are going to have to throw the ball because we know that Baltimore are a good team. it could be a shootout. The only issue there is, again, there is mouths to feed, but Baltimore aren't particularly a great defense against tight ends. They've actually given up the fourth most yards to tight ends this season, and four touchdowns as well, which is joint second in the league as well against tight ends. So a joint second worst, should I say. So yeah, that if you're going budget at the position, I'd be looking at someone like that.
There's not many options below that, is there really?
No.
I would suggest also, not only as a play, but also a play for this team, would be Ricky Seals-Jones as a run back to the Green Bay players. He's Heinicke. I mean, he's playing 100% of the snaps pretty much at the moment, Jones, and Heinicke is literally targeting him when he's covered around the end zone. It's almost like he's desperate to give him touchdowns and stuff. And
He didn't practice Wednesday, Matt. What's going on? Yeah. Have you got your ear to the ground with the Washingtons?
No, I think he's one of those style of players. And what you find is, as the season goes on, there's some players who just don't practice.
Yeah.
And it makes no difference at all to what happens on a Sunday. And, you know, he's one of those big-bodied fellas who's like, I just feel he's one of those. And
do we have any interest in Zach Ertz? Week one, new offense?
A little, but there's like it's a lot of mouths to feed in Arizona as well, isn't there? You don't think he's going to be a premium target during the game. You know, he might get three, four catches, maybe a touchdown if you're lucky. But other ones I like are I like Gesicki, Hunter Henry. And if Howard can't go, then Cameron Brate, I think he's only about $6 million for Tampa.
I'd not noticed. I think was he injured last week, but Dallas got it at 11. There isn't really much else there in Philadelphia now. And now that Ertz has gone, any targets that potentially would have gone that way, you'd assume would either go Devonta Smith's way or Dallas Goedert's way.
I think he was on the COVID list last week and he didn't get enough time to do his two negative tests. But he's been activated this week from it. So he could be an option. Definitely could be an option there. The other thing was, when I was doing the game show with Murph earlier, he suggested Cole Kmet because I needed a budget tight end. Because Tampa Bay are awful against tight ends and Chicago are just going to be throwing the ball. So he's a $6.9 million as well. So that's another cheap potential option. But as we always say, Nick, no matter what format of NFL DFS we're talking about, tight ends is a wasteland.
Yeah. If you're not picking Kelsey, Waller, Andrews to an extent, those two have had some good games. You know, they're still up there with Kelsey scoring. Mark Andrews had had a fairly quiet start to the season, but then erupted in week five. So again, it's a bit of an outlier. It's not a true reflection. Kelsey's the only real consistent performer at the position, you would say.
Yeah. And then Waller's been Darren Waller, as far as I'm concerned.
That's because you wildcarded him in on your season long, Mark.
I know. And I think I took him out the following week. Yeah. So where are we going to go here then, boys, with this tight end? What sort of money are we going to spend on this?
Maybe Goddard then.
Yeah, I think $11 million on Goddard. I'd not really considered him until I looked at his price then, but clear path, clear number two, you'd say, in Philadelphia. So I think at $11 million, it's certainly a cost saving there. It's below average that we'd want to spend on remaining players. So,
yeah. So now we pick a DST and then we'll come back and pick our last player. And I think if we pick a fairly cheap DST, we're going to have a bit of money for a decent amount of money for our last player. What's our philosophy with defenses here? For me, I just always pick the cheapest one I can, which is viable. I'll never lose out. I'll never try to lose out on an offensive player because of defense here, Sean. I'd never sort of like downgrade a player to pick a better defense.
No, because defense is the lowest scoring position out of everyone, isn't it?
So it's the most variable as well.
Yeah, I mean, you can hope you get something, but it's just, you know, it's not potluck, but it's more difficult. I mean, I know they're the most expensive, but I like Arizona. I think I've got them in most of my season teams now. But I would suggest, what about Miami? $7 million, $7.2 million against Atlanta.
That's an interesting option.
Or the what price are the Patriots?
They're up at the top of 9.5. Yeah. I'd also, if you're looking for cheap, I'd also suggest Philadelphia against Vegas, another potential one.
If you're going really, really cheap, do you trust Tennessee to do a job on Kansas City, who are reeling on the ropes at the moment, 5.5?
And he's got a ridiculous amount of interceptions for Patrick Mahomes, hasn't he, recently?
He's had more this season, or is equal this season to what he had the whole of last season.
Yeah, yeah. So I think there's some options down here for us to go for, basically, don't you? Like, you know, I still think the Jets defense against Mac Jones and the Patriots, I still think survival option as well. You know, he's a rookie quarterback. You know, you kind of want your DST to have the opportunity to get interceptions, I think, so they can run them back for touchdowns.
Yeah.
What about Chicago, 5.2 million?
Against Tampa Bay, wow. That would be a play, I suggest. we actually don't have any Tampa Bay players as well.
Yeah. I mean, because it's so cheap, you have to work out how many points are you happy getting? Are you happy getting, say, 5 points for that million, that 5 million?
And if that was in, you'd have 19 million to spend on another player, which means you can have a top player.
Yeah, it depends who you're looking to, how much you want to spend on the last player.
Should we do that then, having before we pick a DST? Then now we know roughly what we've got. Because we know roughly, we're probably going to pick around 7 maximum.
Yeah.
So what I will do here is I'm going to go into the all list, and we're going to have approximately up to 19 million to spend, I think. And now this gives you all of our options we've got across there. So this is across all the positions. Now, obviously, we can't pick another quarterback, but we can pick another running back, wide receiver, or tight end. And there's some pretty good options.
I know who I'd have my eye on, but I'm interested to hear what you think, Sean.
I think I would have McLaurin.
For the run back?
Yeah.
Did you have your eye on it?
I'd have completed the Green Bay stack. I'd have gone with Aaron Jones there.
So you're both stacking, but in different ways here. That's interesting, isn't it? So so basically what it comes down to is Aaron Jones plus Chicago, or McLaurin plus, and if I change this to affordable, plus one of these. McLaurin plus one of these.
Yeah. I don't think there's much in it for Jones or McLaurin.
I think, generally speaking, I think you have more upside if you've got 4 wide receivers, wouldn't you say, Sean?
Yeah, I go through a lot of the lineups, and I saw before I'd always try and go 3 running backs, but you see a lot of the time the winning teams are your 4 wide receivers, because the upside of your wide receiver is higher than the upside of your running backs, unless you're a Derrick Henry.
So because of that, we'll go McLaurin. I know we've got to pick our defense quickly. And again, we've probably spent way more time on this than you should at home because it's defense. So should we just spend up and get the Raiders?
Oh, the Raiders got the Eagles.
Yeah, we haven't got any Philadelphia players. Oh, no, we've got Goddard because we don't want to play the Raiders.
I'd probably go Giants, maybe, with what we've got left. I'd probably go the Dolphins. I think you mentioned it, Sean, the Dolphins. There's got to be a week where the Dolphins defense kickstarts. It's got too many names on it, and Atlanta are always capable of that that week where they just have an absolute shocker, and Matt Ryan is constantly unstrapping his chin strap walking off the field. So yeah, well, I'd go Miami.
Yeah, fine. So I think we've done it. So we've completed our lineup. We've got Rodgers as a quarterback, Henderson and Jacobs running back, Adams, Chase, Hardman and McLaurin at wide receiver, and Goddard at tight end. I think there's plenty of upside in that lineup. Once you've picked your lineup, you see we've still got 1.2 million remaining. We've picked our 9 of 9 players. You just click on enter tournament for free. And if you're signed in already, it will, you know, you'll enter the tournament. And if you're like us, you'll be asked to sign in because we're not signed in at the moment. And that's it. You've created your lineup on our exclusive free roll for this week.
I think it's worth pointing out as well, Mark, that with fan team contests, if you're new to them, you don't have to finish first. Players like Sean may well do that. But you don't have to finish first to get a share of the pot. This competition will pay out down to 10th. So the lower down you finish, 10th, 9th and 8th all pay out £10. 7th and 6th is 15. 5th is 25. 4th is 30. And then we've got 35 for 3rd, 50 for 2nd and 100 for 1st. So you've got a share of the money potentially there. If you win that money, it's giving you a little bit of a prize pool then to go and enter some more red zone contests, because you can obviously enter the other paid contests beside this, and you can enter the same lineup in as well, can't you?
Yeah.
The pop-up box will come once you submit the team. So, yeah. Can I also say, if you look on the screen, the top right-hand corner, you've got three little white dots on your lineup page. But if you press the white dots, And let's just say you're trying to enter, but there's only a few minutes left. If you press the white dots, and you can at the top it says ask the coach. So if you click ask the coach, you can then select what teams you wanna favour.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So click whatever, and then on the right it'll say ask the coach, and then he'll pick you a team.
Wow, well, this is news. This is new to me. Do you have to fill all of them in, Sean?
Huh?
Do you have to fill all of them in, or?
No, I've just picked the top four: Baltimore, Green Bay, Miami, and England, New England. And it's given me Mahomes, Henry, Williams, Connor, DJ Moore, Renfro, Davis. Who else is it?
That's not a bad team.
Yeah. Hunter Henry and the Rams defense. And then you can just use this team, or you can put. Yeah. Regenerate team, and it'll give you another one and another one. This is if you're, you know, short for time.
Yeah, what a great idea.
Fantastic. Yeah. I suppose it's a good tool as well, just to, if you did have certain games that you were trying to stack or gather players from, using that, I suppose it's a good comparison tool to see how near or how far you might be away from the coach.
And the other thing to remember is you can enter this your team now, enter ASAP to get into the contest, and you can edit it. You've got unlimited amount of edits and transfers, whatever you want to call them, until the 6 p.m. deadline on Sunday evening. So you get your entries in now. And the other thing we haven't mentioned yet is you can enter two lineups to this free roll as well, which is great, because as we all know, NFL is a really high variance sport, and it's actually the number of times that Nick and Sean and me will all have suffered from this. An injury in the first quarter or even the first drive can sort of scupper a team, can't it? And that's heartbreaking when that happens.
Yeah, I had 100% Jarvis Landry a few weeks back, and out he goes early.
He's back again tonight. So you can enter two entries into this contest, which is great. So it gives you a little bit of experience with mass multi-entry, which is called MME in the DFS world. And if you like those lineups, you can enter them into the other contests as well, available on Fanteam, because this is mimicking the other red zone contests.
It is.
Yeah. Worth a reminder that the password to enter the contest is red zone. I know we've had a question on the feed there. The password is red zone. We won't be putting this out on socials like I did earlier, but we will advertise that if you want to know that password, you've got to listen to the show or the pod when that goes live, which should be either tomorrow or Saturday.
And just to remind you about the great competitioners, as well as able to enter this contest for free, if you're new to Fanteam and you join through our link, which will be on this video, and also we'll be posting it on socials. If you join through that, you're going to the draw to win. There's 5 tickets each week to the, in this case, the 7,000 euro contest. So some really nice money there. And we're giving away 5 free entries to that each week for our new users. So, yeah, I mean, so many great options. We're going to be doing lots of stuff like this, aren't we, for the rest of the season, Sean?
Oh, yeah, every week. And we're going to be doing this free roll for a few weeks, aren't we? So,
yeah.
It isn't a one-time deal. You know, we're going to give away tickets every week. So, you know, if you haven't played before, come and play. It's free to play. Gives yourself a tryout of chance to win some money. And if you like it, I'm sure you will, because as most of us play DFS, I mean, it's the, you know, it's the great feeling when you're winning, and, you know, it's great fun, isn't it? Watching the games, watching your score go up and down, and, you know, or your ranking go up and down. Well, most of the time in our case.
Yeah. You two know what it feels like watching when you're winning recently. Yeah. So that's been great, guys. It's like, I think obviously we're going to win with that team between us. We share the winnings. Like,
we've got to enter it now. One of us has to enter that team.
I was going to say, if we all put it in, we'll all come first, isn't it?
Yeah. 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 What will end up happening is we'll start off with it, and then each one of us will have our own little tweaks to make and stuff. You know. So yeah, Ricky Seals Jones is going in for me. And that's a bit of a homer pick. So thank you very much for joining us this week, Sean. Anyway, it's been really great having you here.
That's cool. And
good luck. Hope your current run continues for you. Your heater, as you say, you're just warming up.
I'm trying to warm up for the big tournaments over the Christmas period, isn't it? But yeah, the thing you have to realize in when you play DFS is you have swings that, you know, some days you'll be all right, other days you'll come nowhere and you'll look at yourself and think, well, I'm doing something wrong. But as they all say in the community, is just trust your process, trust, you know, most people watch the game, so go with your gut. Don't go with what other people say just because someone says, oh, this is a good play. Go with what you feel.
Yeah, and people don't quite realise how variant the sport is, how much variance there is generally in the scoring and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, NFL is one of the most highest variants along with baseball, isn't it? They're the two most variant sports. I mean, football's is you can generally pick, you know, if Liverpool score, you can generally tell where the goals are coming from, can't you? But in an NFL, you know, there's five wide receivers, tight end, two running backs. Any of them could get the touchdown, isn't it?
Yeah.
Last week
when I came top of the Sunday fumble contest, one of the wide receivers I put in my lineup was Donovan Peoples-Jones. Now, most people would have gone Odell Beckham there, or even Kareem Hunt. Something like that, like you said, Sean, go with your gut. If you've got a feeling that the attention might be elsewhere and you've got someone that has high upside for a week, then that's the beauty of DFS, that you can play those risque players and still potentially get a good outcome or a good result from them.
Yeah, because I think Peoples-Jones was like 1 or 2% owned, wasn't he?
Very low. I think he's probably one of the reasons why I got over the line, to be honest.
So that's some great points you made there. And also, the Peoples-Jones thing stings because I had him at the beginning of the season. I was big on him and stuff. Anyway, we'll see how he does tonight with the new quarterback. So any last words before we go, Nick? Has Pitsy sent you a sign-off this week?
He's not. No, he's let me down this week. He seems to think I'm still on paternity leave. But no, anyone that's listening back to the pod as opposed to watching it live, Sean obviously came on in the off-season on the strategy pods. But if you want to follow Sean, he is on Twitter at SMODFS is what you would likely know him as. If you see the fan team leaderboards, he's usually up there in the cash.
He's trying to be modest now.
I know. You have to take the ups with the downs, isn't it? You know, don't get too high and don't get too low. Get too low. Treat it as fun.
As we say, Mark, only gamble what you can afford to lose. It is still gambling at the end of the day. Gamble responsibly.
Yeah, indeed. So thank you guys for doing this. We're going to continue this sort of format, I think, going forwards now whilst we're doing these great offers contests with Fanteam. And we'll hopefully see you at the top of our contests leaderboard.
Yes.
Okay, so take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
See you next week.
can live a long, healthy life if you're HIV positive. With the current treatments, we can get patients down to being undetectable.
The array of options is so much greater today.
U equals U. Undetectable equals untransmittable. If someone who's HIV positive, they're taking their medication, they're undetectable, they're not able to pass HIV to their partners. Do it for you, Montgomery County.
Your HIV treatment is their prevention. Get more information at doitforyoumc.org.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.